Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
There, here we go.
I got a question for you, Pat.
I am ready.
I got a note from Derek who writes, "The owner of the company I work for has great season tickets to the Vikings and occasionally will give me tickets to either use myself or pass on to customers. And every previous year I've had no trouble giving these away, but this year I couldn't pay people to take them. Most of the concern centers around the danger of going downtown, and a few won't go because of the politics of the NFL. I wonder how many other corporate ticket holders are having the same problem and if it's even worth buying them in the future."
So you don't want to go downtown in the daytime?
Well, as he's just saying, he's having a hard time giving these away.
I can help you with this one. As a guy that monitors the secondary market on a week-by-week basis, I, too, have found that there's hasn't been a ton of interest early on. The Cowboy game won't have an issue with filling that place.
No, but they haven't had an evening start yet. I would think there's some people might be concerned going down in there in the evening.
Here's
if
the
you're
problem,
big
too.
Sissies,
if, but, early on, when it's nice out, nobody wants to go inside that place because we all know that
it's
only.
It's been sold out every game, hasn't it?
Yes. And don't we keep the windows open?
Yeah, but I think that that's part of it, where people want to get stuff done around the house and things like that early on.
Well,
plus,
who
wants to go watch them play Detroit?
Yes, I think part of it was losing the first two and setting in gloom.
Yep.
Guess what? They're pretty good.
They tried hard, though, yesterday.
Yeah, but the NFL is really strange, the modern NFL, because the Vikings outplayed them by 3 touchdowns and ended up being in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
It was no contest. Mm-hmm. They ran through them. They threw over them. They rushed the hell out of them. Their quarterback looked like a complete stiff. Mm-hmm. And when he did get a pass off, somebody dropped it. Carolina was completely inept. But then they blocked a punt and they completed one pass, and pretty soon you're in overtime. It's really weird because that game would have been, you know, on execution of plays, it should have been 34-7. It was a butt kicking, and somehow you're in overtime, just like the Detroit game. But the Detroit game, they didn't really beat them up. You know, they just played terrible. Mm-hmm. That's why that one was close. But yesterday, it was just a. I don't know how they managed to end up going in overtime.
So I didn't get a chance. I had to listen to the game on the radio. I was running around, as
you
we said.
You wanted to hear an objective report.
I absolutely did. Yes, but right. The only thing I regret about not watching it on TV was just to be able to see Zimmer's face when Joseph missed the kick to go to overtime. That's the only thing I wish I would have been able to witness.
Well, he has a problem. He kicks him straight, but he was lined up.
Yeah.
He was lined up over on this.
Yes.
You
You're
can't
right.
kick him straight then. You got to kick him. You got to put a little twist on
him.
Does he
need to draw on it?
Yeah. Right.
Does he need to do the Royce golf swing adjustment?
No. This was on the other side. He's got to have a slight hook, just a very slight hook. Plenty of leg, but he kicked it straight. You know, you can't kick it straight when you're over on that, you know, over on the other
you
side.
Can't go wrecked in.
Let me stick with downtown for a minute. The Twins only drew 1.3 million this year.
Well, Joe, they didn't. Yes, they were only could have 10,000 for the first one.
Oh, they were awful.
Six weeks, yeah. And by the time they let people in the park, they depressed everybody. Yep. So that was. I thought, you know what, that was like top. That was 17th or 18th.
You're
baseball.
Kidding.
Yeah,
was it really?
It was, yeah.
Wow.
There were other towns with more restrictions and stuff like that, but it's a throw-out attendance thing. But yes, had it been a full season and you could have gotten everybody in, they still wouldn't have drawn 2 million. Wow. It would have been 1.7, I think.
And the Wild, I bet, will be sold out tomorrow.
Yeah,
night,
that'll
obviously.
Be fine. Yeah. It'll be fine.
You know. They had a nice couple of wins on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
When are the Winnipegs going to start?
They're a cup contender.
You got to stop doing that.
They are a cup contender.
You're going to jinx them.
They're a cup contender.
You know, the nice thing about the NFL, though, NHL, is there's about 15 of them are cup contenders because mm-hmm. they, you know.
And you know when you'll know by? Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Really?
That's about when you have to know if you're going to make the playoffs or not. It's Thanksgiving.
It's hard to miss the playoffs, Joe. Well, they're still 16. They haven't gone to that.
The NBA play-in round.
The Anaheims did not sell out their lid lifter.
Oh, God, the Kings
did not sell out their lid lifter.
Anaheim attendance has been terrible for several years. Yes, they spoiled them with their good teams, and now they're not very good.
Were you referring to the NBA playoff setup where there's a 32-team playoff when there's only 30 teams in the league?
Well, it could have been. This is now, Joe and I go back to when the NHL was a 21-team league and they only let 16 in the playoffs.
They only let 16.
Remember that? Only 16, yeah.
And Louis once fired his coach with 2 games left. They were like 25 games under 500. But if they won their last 2, they would have made the playoffs. Jeez. So he desperately wanted to get 2 home games for the playoffs.
You'll know this name. These knuckleheads didn't. Leo Boivin died.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he played for the North Stars for a couple of years.
Yes, he did.
Yep. He I think Joe was feeling a little old when he learned that.
Leo only played in the NHL about 18 years, didn't he? He played forever.
He played
a lot of teams.
In fact, is it in this paper today? Did I see it? Mm. Leo Boivin.
Yes. There's a lot of guys are youth. Well, they had Leo and they had some old-timers, man. Moose. They had Moose Vasco.
Yep.
Moose is my favorite Moose story is did you – I asked you this the other. Did you read Chip's piece on and Tom Reed, the penalty shot with Dryden?
Yeah.
He got Dryden on the phone. Dryden was pretty funny. Louis got Dryden on the phone for him, and Dryden was –
Well, Leo was 89 years old.
Yeah. Wow.
19-year NHL career.
Mm-hmm.
He was 5'8", 5'8".
I was in Fulda, Minnesota, where we didn't know hockey existed. And in the 6-team NHL, I could name you all 6 goalies.
Oh, yeah,
man.
Me too.
It was unbelievable.
You know why?
And a guy, you know, the rosters never changed. They brought in...
The lines never changed.
Yeah.
You know why, you could name them? The same way I can... I went through the tennis hall, what's it called? The museum at Wimbledon?
Yes.
Knew every Margaret Court.
Yes,
I knew
right.
all these names. You know why? Because we grew up reading.
Yes, that's true.
We read.
That is true. Because that's
you jump into the box score and then read whatever
the
sports columnist
talked
about.
It didn't. Well, my dad and Joe Miller.
Yeah. Had an apricot, Joe.
6:30 in the morning at our kitchen table. Drinking coffee and reading every sentence in the newspaper and commenting on it when they weren't thinking up plots to become millionaires that really cost both of them a lot of money in the long end. But that was the ritual, you know, and for an hour. They were there for an hour drinking coffee every morning, and then they would go about their days of poaching ducks and pheasants and all that other
stuff.
Well,
I'll finish Leo here. He was traded to the North Stars during the 68-69 season for defenseman Dwayne Rupp. He scored 4 goals in 1.5 seasons in Minnesota before retiring.
Four goals. And that's the way a defenseman played, right?
Before retiring at the age of 39.
What was Reed's stat?
11, one goal.
No, oh. No. 11. He had 11 goals in
100 years.
Yeah, I mean, he just, you know, the defenseman stayed.
Passed the puck.
Back. Yes.
Well, what was his line? His what was his line to you on Friday, Joe? He said, "I felt more embarrassed for Kenny Dryden than I."
Yeah. Well, he said he shot it and it hit the. Oh, yeah, that's right.
You no, he said I was more embarrassed than Dryden.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, you're right. That's what it was.
It hit the ice. He bounced, said it bounced. Bounced before it got there. No, Dryden had never had a shot like that. Well, Reed, he never faced a Reed shot, I'm sure, because he never shot.
Because he never shot the puck.
No, no.
And Dryden was the premier netminder at the time in the league.
Well, he'd won the cup. That was almost his rookie season. He'd come up halfway through the previous season and won the cup for Montreal, and then he became the greatest goalie of all time. Greatest goalie of all time. How about, has there ever been a better named kid when he was born than the goaltender at Mankato? Dryden McCabe.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a goalie.
You think your dad...
Yeah.
You think your dad had an idea of what position he wanted you to play?
Probably had a little bit of a direction.
Now you got me thinking. Terry Sawchuk, Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Hall, Chicago.
Yes.
Jacques Plante, Montreal.
Johnny Bower, Toronto. Gump.
Gump Worsley for the island.
And Cheevers?
Yeah,
I think there was somebody before Cheevers.
There was somebody before Cheevers.
Cheevers. Yeah. I can't remember who the Boston guy was. But yeah.
Lauren Worsley.
Lauren Gump Worsley. Yeah. No greater picture than Gump stretched out on the ice after taking one on his bare noggin.
Yeah. I thought they Gump.
We did later.
Yes. Oh,
later,
okay.
Later.
Okay.
We got legit Gump in here to be the relief pitcher for Cesar.
Ah.
We weren't getting the likes of Gump and Leo in here in their prime.
I got you.
Well.
They maybe were shopping themselves around a bit.
All you got to know about modern hockey is you look at the goaltender, you take an old picture of Gump standing in the middle of the net and look at the wide open spaces for somebody to shoot at, right?
Yeah.
And then you look at one of these guys and there's like
they got too much stuff on.
There's a little corner like this. Yeah. You got a little corner here, a little corner there. But about the only way you can score a goal is if you get a rebound and the guy falls on his ass and you lift it up over him, you know? I mean, or just jam it in. There's not a lot of elegance to goal scoring anymore.
Speaking of that, did you guys see how the St. Cloud and Gopher hockey game ended on Saturday?
I hear Judd and Declan were telling me about it. The Huskies got hosed beyond belief.
Beyond belief to the point where I'm a Mankato guy and felt bad for St. Cloud, for God's sake.
What happened?
Apparently a Gopher basically tackled a guy. And
pretty much.
Grabbed him and
so it's in
St.
Cloud because they did the home and home. Friday they were here, and then Saturday they were up in St. Cloud. He basically tackled the St. Cloud kid, and then they, 15 seconds nobody later, took the puck, and then they scored the winning goal.
Well, I think he came out of the mess, right?
Yeah.
And then threw the puck in front and scored the goal. And I was a little disappointed in Motzko. St. Cloud guy, 16 years. He said the guy, he was one of the people in the Gophers locker room saying that they embellished the kid from St. Cloud embellished the play. Oof. So everybody who saw it said it was. Well, the Mark Parrish, Pat Micheletti, and whoever the play-by-play guy is.
I think it's Jim Rich because they do it on Fox 9+.
The telecast down here was the St. Cloud telecast. They went crazy, I guess.
Why isn't Passolt doing the games? Wasn't he a St. Cloud hockey player?
He lives in Florida.
Well, he's retired. Oh. He's not even around.
He's gone.
No, he lives. I think he might come back and go to the lake in the summer. But he lives in Florida.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a Naples guy. So I ran into him. When did I go see Lumpy play golf? He and his wife were out watching Lumpy play golf.
My Mavs, we lost to Michigan Saturday night.
Yeah, you split though, right?
Yeah, we beat Providence, Friday night.
Yeah. Michigan's going to be number one in the country. Michigan has 7 first-rounders or some damn thing.
Something like that. Including the one we drafted. Didn't we draft the goalie from Michigan? The Wilds?
Yeah, you'd have to talk to somebody who cares.
Right. Yeah, where was he in the draft? I forget, Pat.
The pros weren't kind to that golf course in Vegas, were they?
No, but you and I were probably the only guys watching to see if Rory could beat Ricky, right?
That's right.
I watched a lot of it.
I did, too.
In the afternoon, after the Viking game was over. I watched a lot of it. And Rory making some putts, which is very unusual for him.
Yes, it was.
He only ended up winning by one, right?
He won by one shot over Colin Morikawa.
Why did they have such a good field?
That was a great field. Yeah,
I know. This is the Vegas must have. There's got to be some incentives being tossed at the boy. You know, in Europe they just pay him to show up.
Yeah,
they must have been providing some free stuff out in Vegas for the fellas to get that kind of a field, because this is like the fall season, even though it's the kickoff of next year.
Brooks Koepka, Tommy Fleetwood, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, Ricky Fowler.
They got
Adam Scott.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a hell of a field.
They did. It was amazing.
Sergio Garcia.
Wow. I wonder what they did for him.
I don't know.
To do something. I wouldn't, you know, they're all happily.
Tony Finau.
They're all happily married men, even Ricky and Rory now.
I know where your mind's going. I know where it's been ever since you first said it.
No, no, I'm not. I just wondered what they, there had to be some incentives, right?
Okay.
Free lodging on the strip.
Sure.
Jason like Day. That. Patrick Reed.
Wow.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, it sounds like the memorial or something.
Yeah, Shane Lowry.
Yeah.
Geez. Gary Woodland.
The Europeans had the BMW Classic.
Sam Burns. He's hotter than hell.
Yeah. The Europe, they had the BMW Classic. That's usually a big one. What the hell is Shane Lowry doing over here?
I don't know.
Why isn't he playing over there where he belongs? So
quick Vikings note, the Vikings have, and this is not good, they have placed cornerback Patrick Peterson on injured reserve, which means only 3 weeks,
hammy,
but still,
right?
Yeah.
Because he's the only guy that actually covers somebody.
Right.
Yes. Boy, this Breland sinks.
He's awful. Well, and what I can't figure out
and
is...
Then he taunts the fans like he did last week.
Right. And then the Patriots cut, what's his name, Gilmore.
Yeah.
And there was no interest. I'm thinking, why not try to...
Carolina didn't...
Got him. They got him for like a fifth round pick.
But he's hurt,
or
right?
Yeah. He's going to be back next week, I believe.
They stink.
Carolina?
They stink.
Yeah, they do.
What about the end of the Cowboy Patriot game?
Didn't see it.
Oh, it was.
Right now, your front runner for MVP, Dak Prescott.
Yeah, he's playing pretty well. Yeah.
It was back and forth. And to see Belichick lose was just, I really
rooting for
that.
Jerry Jones?
I said yesterday out loud, this is the only time I want Dallas to win.
That's like choosing between Hitler and Mussolini, you know, for God's sake.
That's rude. Yeah. I thought Jerry was
very
rude.
Jerry's very rude. I mean, in a football sense.
Yes.
Not in a mass murder.
Right.
Not
There's a
not
very big,
a
clear
huge
distinction.
Mass murdering.
We call that context.
Context, yes. We always are big at context. You know where I'm thinking? Hey, has the Bond movie started yet?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's out.
It's in the theaters.
I believe tonight, to support my local theater, mm-hmm. I might go watch it at the Willow Creek.
Really?
We had the guy come in and shoot off a couple of... I hope they're not closed because of it. Some guy came in and...
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that was a knucklehead out.
At Willow Creek?
Yeah. That's my theater.
It's called Plymouth.
It's Plymouth, but it's right
of
it's right over
55, isn't it?
Right over where General Mills, the street from General Mills. Right. That's where we usually go.
But he went in and just shot in the lobby.
Just
a
shot
times,
in the lobby. Have
and
we
then
found
took
him?
Off. I don't know. I did not. But you got cameras everywhere there. You could probably find out what car he hops into.
So what is it somehow tied into the movie Venom? Because sometimes people do this weird stuff around movies. What is Venom? Do we know
I have
what
no
Venom
idea.
Is?
Venom is
one of these violent action,
I probably have kids
youthful
that know.
Thing.
It's 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
Venom?
No, Bond.
But what kind of car
is it? Oh, is it? Well, maybe I won't go.
On second thought.
Maybe I'll buy it.
Now, will that ultimately be available on your home television?
Well, but not
for a
while.
You're going to have to pop for it. I just spent as
you,
a...
You,
as
you
a,
went to the app.
As it well that
right.
yeah we did that we
Bob
went
Rodney.
To the nah it wasn't
Not
the opera
Bob Rodney,
it was,
what was his name
they did opera Bocelli. Andrea Bocelli.
He's an expert
got him
he's
an
yes the first
the
half
opera glasses
the first half of the show was kind of opera stuff
yeah
you had the soprano out there
yeah
good looking babe usually you know, usually the Sopranos are fatties, you know, chubby girls, but this one was a young, very attractive.
Va-va-voom.
Yeah. And then they had the
Barry. You're telling and you can sing, so you can attract
those
kind.
They were doing opera type stuff, you know.
Yeah, got it.
Sing a lot of Italian in that opera. You know?
Like Opera Man.
But the wife was getting mad because one of the things he's doing with the gal is you know, there's kind of hugging and stuff.
That's
and
right.
I said, so is this a love?
Right.
I said,
no, she's doing protocol.
Are we watching
on
a
you.
Love scene out of some
Where are we going
opera?
With this plot? Where are we going?
But then the second half, he brings out his 9-year-old daughter to sing Hallelujah with him, and that's crowd went absolutely insane.
Not like that.
And then he brings out some popular singer, Lorna Allred. You ever hear of her?
No. Yes.
She sang was the singer for The Greatest Showman, which I haven't watched, but a lot of people. And she's touring with him. She's going around.
She's touring?
She's touring with him through this thing.
Oh.
And they do some good, they can do some stuff. So there was two different acts, basically.
Speaking of tour, Patrick, please tell me that you heard Ed Orgeron's press conference announcing he was leaving LSU.
No, did he officially announce it Sunday?
Yeah, they made the formal announcement. The school made the formal announcement. Then he had his press conference. What is it, the 17th was yesterday, right? Yeah. So
he gets his 17 mil, right?
Oh yeah,
and in fact, 17.
He talks about that, and I'll play a little clip right here. This is Patrick's guy Ed Orgeron, I guess the former LSU head football coach.
But he's going to last till the end of the season, right?
Right.
Okay.
Ed, do you plan on coaching next year?
No. Was that? I want to take a little time off. You know, I'm 60 years old. I've coached for 37 years. I think I'm going to have enough money to buy me a hamburger every once in a while. Maybe a double meat cheeseburger.
There we go. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Why is he leaving?
They're unhappy with him.
He only won a national title 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
College football is so stupid.
They lost to Kentucky and who else?
Yeah, they aren't having a
very good year. Well, but they have had a few scandals.
I'm unaware.
They've had some.
That boy's a Cajun, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. His mama, and Coco.
Yeah.
Him and I did one of my favorite columns I've written in the last few years was when I got to talk to his buddy that he used to shovel shrimp with, Brian Arsenal. Brian and his mother, Coco, they speak. It's out on the. You can find it on
it's
YouTube.
It's a French pigeon language.
Yes,
what am I thinking of?
It's French. They French Acadian, they call it, and African, and a little English thrown in, and it's a pidgin language that they only speak down in that part of the Louisiana,
and
Cajun
down
French.
In the bayou.
But him and his mama are talking, are like saying hello to each other in Cajun French in this video, and it's just great because you'd have no idea what they're talking about. But his mother, Coco, is like 5'10", and just a great old lady. But this Arsenal's mother was Fury. That was her nickname there, Fury. And Ed's mother, Ed's father, Ed Sr., gave her the name Fury. And I said, so why Fury? He says, because she can go from 0 to 100 faster than anybody you ever saw. And she still can, even as a 2-time cancer survivor, he said. So, I mean, these guys, Joe. Him and his buddy.
Mm-hmm. I remember the piece you did.
They shoveled shrimp all summer.
Right.
At Green Island, and then would sleep next to the shrimp shack on a slab. Oh. And when they'd go to the, they would hose themselves off, slap a little soap on, and then their buddy'd pick them up and take them to the bar, but he made them ride in the trunk.
Staking his car.
Oh, man.
Now he's got $17 million.
Yeah, he gave him $17 million. He could buy the La Fourche Bayou if he wanted to.
His house would be like the Denny Hecker house on steroids, right?
Yeah.
I'm picturing the big Elvis statue and everything.
Oh, he would do all that stuff. But you know, it's amazing. You're right. They're running him off.
Oh, I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
He won 2 years ago.
I know.
In football, you can't do that.
I bet the guy they go get is.
That's your Ohio State.
I bet the guy they go.
PJ?
James Franklin supposedly is a hot candidate.
Why would he want that job over Penn State?
He's been trying to get out. I don't know why.
Huh.
I think he wants to. Well, Ed was making nine.
That's true.
Ed was making nine. But I think the other guy might be the guy who was the offensive coordinator with Burrow.
Joe
Brady, who's now at Carolina. Yeah, Baton Rouge. You ever been? I've never been down there.
Me neither.
Didn't you used to listen to the games on the radio?
Oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah. 1958, national champions.
Well, I was just glad to see culture prevail on Saturday at Huntington Bank Stadium.
Yes, culture beat talent. No, skill.
Skill.
Culture. You know.
4-1 now against Nebraska?
Yes.
My wife?
He's 3-1, but the Gophers have won 4 of the last 5.
Okay. My wife, who does not pay attention a lot to Gopher football, said, didn't Nebraska used to always come in here and beat us 70-0?
They edged us a couple of times, yeah.
Look at this. Ottawa beat Dallas last night in the NHL 3-2. The attendance, 8,000.
In Dallas?
I don't know where it was.
It had to be Dallas. Right?
18,572 is the capacity.
Well, where's it? You can
that
tell.
That could also be the capacity in Ottawa.
You can tell which team was at home, Joe.
How?
On the bottom?
Who the goalie is on the bottom? You know, I mean,
who the goalie is?
No, they usually have.
Pull it up right here. Yeah.
I would guess it was at Dallas.
How's that ninth ad doing?
He still hasn't figured out the tenth.
Yeah, he's on the ninth. That'll
be crazy. That was in Ottawa.
Yes.
Yeah. Last.
Well,
night.
You know what? Where's the people's?
You know what Ottawa's problem is? Now it shouldn't be a problem on Sunday, but they built the stadium out 20 miles. Nobody can get there. Mm-hmm. They got a rush hour problem now with the pandemic. This must be just disgust with
the
team.
There massive lockdowns still, though, in Canada?
Yeah, that could be part of it, too. Maybe they don't let everybody
in. Is that the Saddle Dome, or is that Calgary? Calgary's a Saddle Dome.
Calgary's a Saddle Dome. Okay. I think they're full capacity.
I thought Ottawa had a rink downtown that you could skate to.
Not anymore. They got this old place. They're hot. They're hot to build one downtown.
They got the skating canals.
They want a new one. Yes, they got the skating canals.
That's your idea, right?
It was my idea.
Yes, they do.
Build them all through town.
Good Lord.
Yeah, they
do. Be fun.
Well, Joe, they've been the worst team in the league for like 2 years in a row, right. 2-3 years in a row, so that could be part of it, you know? Maybe the Canadian lockdowns are part of it. That could be part of it, too. I don't know. We were rolling along there talking about LSU. Yes, I've told this story before, but I have never been to Baton Rouge, but the retired lieutenant colonel was there in his youth earlier when he was stationed in Biloxi, and he was in New Orleans for a weekend and on a Friday, and he ran into some people who were going to the game, and they said, "Do you want to go to the game?" So he rode down there with him. I think there was a young lady that had attracted some interest to him. But,
sure.
But he went to the game with them, remembered nothing of the second half, and woke up the next morning out in the middle of the bayou, not the water part, but the...
That's important.
Sleeping next to a pot of... Booyah!
Hey,
you know, that was
right.
He didn't get eaten by a bear.
Yes, or alligator.
Or a gator.
Gator
or something. And he said, "Boy, that's quite an atmosphere, that LSU football, but I don't think I'm going back." He said,
I'd like to live.
What I remember about it listening as a kid, though, is you'd listen to a Gopher game, you know, and they'd cheer when something happened. Yep. There it was a constant din. Din of noise because they were one of the first teams in the country to play night games. You know, they always played night games.
What station did you get them on?
I researched it once. It was
a big blaster,
Shreveport or someplace.
KLSU. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know where it was from.
It's the Canadian Tire Center, by the way. Was the arena you were looking for that does seat 18? I was trying to see if they have lockdowns, but I can't find anything.
Canadian Tire Center.
Yep, yeah, that's where the old Senators play.
America's
Joe.
Cap, huh?
You're wearing that Cretan Durham Hall T-shirt. Is that just Cretan?
That's CDH.
Okay,
CDH. That's the CDH logo.
CDH. What are we going to do about Cretan football?
Boy, they're on hard times.
I've checked with a couple of people, and they say this is the worst it's been.
Yeah, it's a rough go. They got their...
The rumors, they might go down another class to four.
Ooh.
Are they at the top
where,
now?
Where they belong. I think they're five, aren't they? Did they go down one? They're six.
Yeah, they're five now, I believe.
Yeah, because they play the academy.
What's the academy, back. A five?
Five, yeah. But McCaddy Academy beat them bloody, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it was not a great game. It was that was a tough one. But mm-hmm. You know what? I'm glad they play it, and it was a fundraising game, and they should do that every year. It's a great rivalry. The kids don't know about it, but it's more for the alumni. You know, the kids, St. Thomas and Creighton are not still the rivalry mm-hmm. that it used to be, but for the alumni, that's still there, and that's how you raise funds and make money. I think they should do that annually.
Well, hell, they used to be a mile apart.
Yeah. Yeah, right, when they were at the
St. Well, they had the Tackle Cancer fundraiser, and that's fine. But also there's the Finnegan Scholarship, and that's for children who have lost parents they pay their tuition. So mm-hmm. I think there should be a maybe every other year or maybe split
well,
the—
Well, won't they play all the time now? Because they're both 5'8". They will play all the time.
I don't know. I hope so. I don't know what the future is. But that would be—I think you're touched more also with those local kids that— lost a parent, and this goes toward tuition that need it. So it's both, and Tackle Cancer is a great deal too, but they should probably take a little bit from both.
My introduction to St. Thomas Academy and Creighton was through my cousin, Father Brian O'Rourke, who became a priest later, but he was like a high school senior.
Whose funeral you were Creighton. Worried about yes. because you thought it might go the extra hour.
Oh, that was the marker. But that was the marker. That's right.
Yeah, the arch was there, and right. They had the fan running underneath his garments. That helped. But yes. But he was like a saintly kid then, you know. Okay. He was a saintly kid. Yeah, Brian. And he took me, and I guess it was just me, to a Creighton St. Thomas game that day. And we walked from Wilder over the academy and played it upstairs at the
So you're talking about basketball.
Basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the game started and Reverend Brian
went nuts.
Was insane for an hour and a half for his hatred for the academy. And I was like, what the hell? You know, where did this come from? He was just enraged the entire game. And I said, geez, this is better than folding slate. And it was unbelievable. I was, I don't know how
that old, was, it was.
I might have been
rivalry.
An 8 or 9 year old kid, but I didn't hear him. I can't recall curse words, but the insanity of his emotion was
just there. The intensity was there.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Well, by the way, I know when it comes to competition on this show, we run the gamut. We cover everything. Joe, you covered a snowmobile race back in your sports writing days. You guys have covered it all. I did not know about this particular competition, but we were just informed by a listener that he would like this discussed on Monday Night Sports Talk. Rochester's Ear of Corn Water Tower. You guys are familiar with the big Ear of Corn Water Tower right off Highway 14?
Okay.
Well, Joe, it's in the running to be America's Tank of the Year.
Really?
Yep. We got a competition.
Yeah. Tank's not like losing something.
No, water tank. Yeah, okay. So they're in the competition. They are one of 5,000 nominated
God
water
almighty.
Tanks.
It's not exactly like we got to sit around on pins and needles. Yeah. Tell us they're in the final five, and then when we get back to us, final five, we can get nervous. Or no.
I sure hope they win. It's a
right.
What do you get, I wonder?
I have no idea.
Could I win?
I think Arlington with the baseball.
That's a good one, too. Arlington. By the way, I misspoke. 5,000 were nominated. They are one of 12 finalists.
Well, okay.
I read
now,
on here.
Okay, now we can get nervous. Now we can get nervous. I wonder if Arlington was sharp enough to enter the proceeds with the baseball.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I'm not sure. But
Pequot Lakes has a bobber.
Yeah, that's right. Pequot Lakes is great. Yeah, there's a
Tank of the Year.
Tank of the Year.
Let's go.
Who the hell said, you know what we need?
Oh, it's the commission of the development. They're sitting around going,
a town like Rochester, though, they're not restricted to one water tower like most towns.
No, I think they probably have a few. That
yeah,
because
I
guess.
Like the town that's it.
Right, you got one.
This thing runs out here. We're
done. We're toast.
No more baths. That's another thing. Another thing that... Jiminy Glick made to, he said, I heard you grew up in poverty in Brooklyn. And Mel Brooks says, yeah, yeah, well, we did. He says, oh. He says, so you didn't bathe very often then. he didn't bathe. He said, I just, you know, I have a hard time being around poor people who don't bathe.
So Jiminy Glick was an interviewer?
He was Martin Short doing this. It was like the 2,000-year-old man. Right.
You didn't know what ridiculous
question he was going to ask you, but it was a test of your spontaneity,
your impromptu skills.
And
absolutely,
of course, nobody was better trained in that than Mel Brooks because he did it with Reiner for Reiner. The 2,000-year-old man never knew what question was coming. You know, he never knew. He had to come up with what was the 2,000-year-old man. But he said, but he did get him to laugh uproariously, which I read was one of Martin Short's highlights of his career. Yeah. He got Mel to laugh uproariously.
Was that a Comedy Central show, or what was that?
Jimmy, it was just a 10-minute, five-minute hit that I think showed up on Comedy Central. Yeah, just Jiminy Glick.
Jiminy Glick.
Oh, he was, damn, he was funny. I had to look up the synchronized swimming, skit and his quote. I was trying to remember his exact quote, and he said, you know, he's out there with the nose plug and the thing, and he says, I'm not a strong swimmer.
Just a great delivery. And he's got the bad teeth.
Yeah.
I'm not a strong swimmer. And he's just everything about him. I'm looking at it right now Glick told Larry David that Jiminy is his real name, given him because his parents were from the Baha faith. And in an interview with Ben Stiller, he asserted that he and his wife were Buddhists. I mean, he's all over. He's Canadian, isn't he?
Martin Short?
Yes, he's from Canada.
He's another one. God, they were bringing him. SCTV was basically where it started.
Yeah. Glick became Charles Bronson's personal assistant for 5 years during the 70s. He planned on working for Robert Vaughn, but according to Glick, he didn't pay. Bronson was very cruel to Glick and at one point threw him off his boat, mistaking him for Sebastian.
This is
Kibble.
A fake autobiography.
It's hilarious just reading it. He didn't pay. I didn't go to Robert Vaughn because he didn't pay. It's like, oh, Lord.
Speaking of impromptu, by the way, our guy J.L. Coven has been at it again. Okay. I was listening to a little bit of it in the background where President Trump attempts to eulogize Colin Powell today.
Okay.
Based on the sad news that he unfortunately passed away.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's too bad. How old?
84.
Was he that old?
Yeah. Wow. Morning is a sad day. Some might say a very sad day. You might even say that. But we found out this morning, I turned on the TV and it said, sir, we have bad news. Colin Hanks has passed away from COVID. And I thought to myself, this is one of these sad things that you're not prepared for, okay?
Colin Hanks.
And I remember it was like yesterday when Colin Hanks was son of Tom Hanks. Not a lot of people know that. I know more people probably support Tom Hanks. I don't. Colin Hanks declared it White Boy Summer. Remember this? And I left. They didn't like that. They didn't like it at all, but we supported him very strongly. We had great White Boy Summer events at Mar-a-Lago, and everybody else was, you know, the radical left. You know, they liked it when Megan the Pony did Hot Girl Summer. And I'm pro Hot Girl Summer, okay? I have nothing against hot girls or summer, okay? Summer, you know, it's a little hot in the summer, but when Colin Hanks called it White Boy Summer, I thought, it's called equality. It's called opportunity, okay? And now he's gone. And it's so sad. We're hanging the flags at half pole, whatever they call it. You know, at the stripper poles near Mar-a-Lago will have the Colin Hanks flag half up with the, you know, so when they slide down, they have to avoid it at the midway point. But my condolences to Tom Hanks, who's his father. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm not so sure I'm a fan of Tom Hanks, you know, he did, remember Bosom Buddies? Yeah, so he's probably very pro-trans. Okay? I was talking to my friend Dave Chappelle about it today, and we're both not big fans of Bosom Buddies, but rest in power, Colin Hanks. You will be missed, and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. He did not, that one was not scripted at all. That was just absolutely.
He gets inside Trump's head, though.
Yeah.
Oh, you can see it. Colin Hanks.
He's the son of Tom Hanks, and a lot of people know that.
Oh, well.
All right, sports fans.
Don't you
guys
go to the bank?
Don't we both?
I went to the bank. I went to the bank.
Come money. With me.
I think when it's 75, we all need to go
Let's
to the bank.
Let's go to the bank.
That's right. EcoFun has e-bikes in stock. And why is that important? Because every other bike retailer is out of stock and will not be getting new e-bikes until December or January. You can't even get one for Christmas from them. The weather is warming up, so if you are in the market for an e-bike, scooter, or ATV, go to EcoFun right now. EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will help you select the e-bike that is right for you, and they will deliver it to your front door in the metro area. Right now, EcoFun has Bentelli e-bikes and Yamaha Motor Assist bikes in stock. EcoFun also carries the full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a wide variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com and tell Tim that that old bicycler Patrick Ricey sent you.
Hey, GLers, it's Reavers here once again for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. And as you've been hearing over the course of the last couple of months, Josh asks you one simple question, and that's always, do you know what you own? You see, Josh's clients, they always know what they own. And Josh has found that most people that he meets with every single day, well, they don't. They absolutely have no idea. Josh has also seen retirement portfolios that have a big percentage in bonds. And there are real instances of people paying more in commissions and fees than they can possibly make on the rate of return that those bonds currently yield. So Josh begs of you, know what you own. And you'll hear from Mr. Money Talk later today here in Garage Logic to give you a specialized report on the goings-on in the market today. Trust is often overused, and it's even harder to find. Please, you can take it from me that you can trust Josh. So give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation, and you do so by calling 952-925-5608. Once again, that's 952-925-5608 for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold.
This is Patrick Gracie for The Canopy Group. Your kids are back in school, and when they get home, they do their homework, or they're supposed to do their homework. Why don't you do your homework? You have been with that same home and auto insurance company that has only one agent who represents only one insurance company for years. You deserve options. Let's face it, your insurance needs change as the years go by. Insurance companies' rates certainly change as the years go by. That is why the Canopy Group provides you with 16 options, not one, 16. Don't tell your kids, but you can outsource your homework to the Canopy Group. They will teach you how they find the best insurance coverage for the best price, not only today, but each and every year. Contact the Canopy Group at 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com and let them do the homework for you.